have a good time. Put a smile on your face, yeah. KBKM and Elation Radio. Even brighten your day and help you through the night. Bring you good music. KBKM and Elation Radio. And here's your host.
My hands together, and I want you to know that I am a soldier of the Lord, and I shall win on how to victory in everything going on. It's 10 o'clock on a Tuesday evening. You must be tuned into The Voice with Apostle Vincent L. Smith, New Haven, Connecticut. Glad to have you with us. God is going to do something great with us, through us, for us tonight. So I'm glad you tuned in. Amen. I know our producer is here because she's the one played that hot song just then about being a soldier. Kimmy Kim, come on, say hi to the people.
Good evening, everyone. How you doing today, Apostle?
I'm doing all right. I woke up this morning.
That's good.
Black. I said everything's all right.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, do we have
how you
any
been?
Others on? We have any others on
right.
We need to recognize?
Right now, it's you and I until others come on.
I know Bishop Elect said he would be a little late, but he will be coming to
okay.
us. So keep your eye out and let me know when he comes
okay.
in.
All righty.
Can you believe it? June 1st already, and it's about to end in a couple of more hours. The 1st of June.
Yeah, this year is gone almost.
Is get ready to be the 2nd of June already. Lord, 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 time is moving. So if we think we got time to just sit around and cross our legs and talk about, well, I'm going to do something for God after a while, you better be doing it right now. Time ain't waiting on you. God ain't playing with you. You better do what you got to do. And say, Lord, I thank you for allowing me to be busy for you. Glory to God. Amen. All right. Dr. Kim, looks like I'm going to have to use you a little bit tonight, a little bit more than usual, but I know you're all right. Give us our opening prayer tonight.
Okay. Sure. Father God, thank you once again for another good The Voice segment. Thank you for Apostle Smith, his dedication, his loyalty, and continue on giving him the lessons to give to us so that we can be more service, more better service and children of you, Father God. Our main goal is to continue on with the faith and to keep your commandments, Father God. We just love you. We praise you because you first loved us, and we are here because of you, and we thank you so much for Jesus Christ who died on the cross for our sins. So, Father God, decrease me and put more of your ways in your precepts. And we will continue on giving you all the glory and all the praises. And we make these wonderful prayers and requests in your son Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
Amen, amen. Now, we were doing a wonderful study for the last month. We are not finished with it yet. But I heard the Lord speak something to me concerning tonight, and I believe we're going to do it tonight. And then next week, I'm going to try to get back in our study so we can finish that up. Amen. But I believe,
Amen.
It's, in the book. I believe it's in the book of 2 Peter, chapter 5, verse number 8, that I want tonight. Amen. I believe that's the scripture.
1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. 2
Peter,
okay. 5, verse 8. 2 Peter, verse. What was that again?
Sorry. 2 Peter. Chapter 5, verse 8. And then
Second Peter.
I'm going to tell you where we're in the right spot or not. Go ahead.
Okay. But Second Peter only has three chapters. I think it's First Peter.
Okay. Yeah, it might be First Peter.
And that's chapter 5, verse 8.
Yeah.
Okay. And it reads, okay. It reads, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walk about seeking whom he may devour. Number 9.
So what translation was that?
That's the King James.
All right, read it from the Amplified. Read it from the Amplified if you can.
And I'm now in the Amplifier, and it reads, I will start with verse 8. Be sober, well-balanced, and self-disciplined. Be alert and cautious at all times. That enemy of yours, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, fiercely hungry, seeking the ones to devour. He is sniffing for someone. Amen.
I got one more version I want you to read that from. Read that from the CEV. Read that from the CEV.
Okay. And it reads, be on your guard and stay awake. Your enemy, the devil, is like a roaring lion, sneaking around to find someone to attack.
All right. And could you go to St. John, chapter 10, verse 10?
St. John, chapter 10, verse 10. Let me go back. And it reads, which version do you prefer me to read from?
You can start out with the King James like we did before.
All right. And it reads, chapter 10, verse 10, the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly.
All
and that's
right,
the King James Version.
Right.
I'm going to do the AMP. And Amplifier, it reads, okay. The thief comes only in order to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it in abundance to the full till it overflows. Blessed to the readers. And the CEV reads, that's 10. A thief comes only to rob, kill, and destroy. I come so everyone could have life and have it fully. And that's the three versions for that one as well.
Amen, amen. I want to talk from the subject tonight. Be careful. You're under surveillance and attack. Be careful. You're under surveillance for attack. Lord have mercy. Amen. And we read, amen. I want to deal with that John 10:10 first. It told us to be careful. Because the enemy is always after us for stealing, for killing, and destroying. I'm telling you, if you are not aware, you need to be aware tonight that the enemy is not just looking at you. He is trying to figure out how and when he's going to get a chance to bother you, to fight with you, to mess with your life, and leave you helpless and pitiful that you were not prepared for his coming. But the Bible warned us that we need to be ready, because he likes to steal, he likes to kill, he likes to destroy. Now, what does it mean in this chapter, he come to steal? What does he come to steal? Do we not care? What does he come to steal?
He comes to steal your peace, your joy. He likes to steal things that is of the Lord, so that he can take away your salvation. He wants to take away your hope that you have in God. I mean, he may take some things that are earthly, but the most important thing is your heavenly riches. So he comes to take away your heavenly riches.
Okay, okay. I like your answer. I like your, not your answer, I like your description of steel. And if anybody is listening to us tonight, you need to stay aware of that definition, because that's what the enemy comes to do. That's what he's after. He comes to steal everything that you got locked up in God. And if he can make you think that he can take it, uh-oh, I want to tell you, he already got you. Because that's the first thing he does. He's coming to see what he can steal from you. Now, I want you to notice something. In John 10 and 10, in that King James Version, they called the enemy a thief. They did not call him a robber. Dr. Kim and Kim, please look up that definition of thief and that definition of robber, and we're going to see why the Lord sets us to be ready and watch out for the thief. It is significant that they use the word thief and not robber in this verse.
Okay.
What does that word
mean? And I have it. Thief means a person who steals another person's property, especially by with steals and without using force or violence. So.
Oh, okay.
And
he's
the colors they have.
He's not using force or violence, so therefore it must mean the thief is somebody that watches us.
That's what it says.
They would not know how to get us without violence or without really messing us up if they're not watching. And I want you to hear this now. They're watching us on a daily basis, hour by hour, movement by movement, going to work, coming from work, going home, coming home, going shopping, whatever. They are watching your daily movement to see what, how to do what. It's an A word. They're waiting to see how to do what?
How to the A word?
Yeah. They're waiting to see how to launch their what?
Okay.
Come on.
Okay.
It's in the subject for tonight. They're waiting to see how
that
to
is her strength.
No, no, I said an A word. They're looking to see how to launch their what?
Okay, okay.
Come on, think about this subject tonight.
And that is?
He's scheming and doing what else to launch what?
Okay.
Come on, what about that word attack I just used?
Huh?
I said, what about that word attack that was in the subject tonight?
Yeah, he does come to attack you. He uses what you like to attack you.
But he has to watch you like a beast.
Right, so that's why,
That's the word I'm looking for right there. He has to study you in order to get it down back in his head when to attack, how to attack, what he's going to attack. I want everybody to know tonight that the enemy, a real skilled enemy, a thief of an enemy, just don't jump on you any kind of way. Have you ever been having a great, fantastic week and then something just come out of nowhere?
Yes.
Do you think that's a robber? You think that's a robber or a thief?
That would be a thief because he studied you.
He studied you. Even though you're having a good time, he knows something ain't happened yet. And he comes in and hits you at that spot where it ain't happened yet.
Yes, he wanted to knock you out.
Yes.
Yeah.
And with all the good times that's going on, when he hit that spot, it goes from a good time to what kind of time?
He comforts to steal.
Yeah, but you have a good time. And when he launches his attack, you go from a good time to a what kind of time?
To a bad time. A terrible time.
You better believe it. And the way he hit us, we don't know what to do, which way to go, or nothing. All we can say, Lord, I was having such a good time. Where did this come from? But the enemy,
and that's what he does. He brings a temporary happiness or temporary enjoyment. It doesn't last.
Yes, yes. And the reason, and I want somebody to know the reason why he's searching, the reason why he wants to launch an attack is because he wants you to think that God is not with you, that God is not getting ready to keep his promise. God is not getting ready to do what he said he's going to do. God is going to turn his back on you and not do what he said. He wants you to think that Isaiah 55 and verse 10 is just a joke. And we know Isaiah 55 and 10 says, when God speaks, it got to come to pass because it can't return unto him void. But the enemy will come and try to make you think that his word don't mean nothing. He ain't about to do nothing for you. You're waiting on God in vain for falsehood. He ain't get ready to do nothing for you. Read that other definition about a robber.
The other definition, a robber. Let's see. It says a robber. Let me get it. Okay. To take something from someone by unlawful force or threat of violence and steal from. To deprive someone of some right or something legally due. They robbed her of her inheritance. to plunder or rifle. A house or a shop or et cetera are examples of what people take to rob. So this is more of a violent word versus a thief is less violent.
So that means the robber are the imps of Satan. They're not skilled. They just jump on you and do whatever.
Exactly. They use a weapon.
About Satan, but when he talked about Satan, it called him a thief, a skilled person that's going to come after you. Now let's look at something to make a little more sense. Just kill and kill. That scripture you read in 1 Peter, did it say the thief, or not the thief, did it say be sober, be vigilant, because the adversary comes in like a roaring lion. He comes in like something scared, like something skilled, like he's getting ready to do something real big and bad. He's a thief. He come in like he got the final plan of how you're getting ready to go down.
Exactly.
But thank
and
you to God. What's that? Hello? Hello? Kimmy Kim, did I lose you? Well, I want everybody to know tonight, amen, that he goes about planning things and trying to set the trap up that he thinks he's going to keep you there the rest of your day. He wants you to feel so down when he launches attack. He wants you to feel like, oh, I don't know if I should follow God or not. But I want you to know something is there in the book of Corinthians, I believe, is 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God to the what? Pulling down of the stronghold. Everything the enemy thinks is getting ready to hold you like a little baby, God has given you power to get out of it. Ooh, I like that, boy. God just said that. God has given you power to get out of it. He said, I've given you power over the stronghold of the enemy. And if that ain't enough for you to get excited, go to Luke. Amen. I believe it is chapter 19, chapter 20, verse 19. No, it ain't. It's verse 19, chapter 19, verse 20. That behold, I have given you power over all the works of the enemy, and nothing shall thy enemy hurt you. I want somebody to know tonight there is no weapon that the enemy can use against you that is worthy of taking you out. I'm telling you now, for the Bible says no weapon formed against you.
Weapon.
That means while he's working on it, God already knows what he's working on, and he's already made the plan for you to be victorious. Oh, my Lord. I feel like dancing right now.
Amen. Yes.
It says you are already victorious before the attack is even just started. He says everything falls. You're going to overcome it. If the devil can work on it, God's already got the victory for us. Oh, we ought to stop right there. Somebody ought to tell the Lord thank you.
Thank you, Lord. Amen.
So, therefore, every attack to steal, to kill, to destroy, already got a limit when it comes to you. He can't do no more than you allow him, even if that means he can't even start what he thinks he's getting ready to do. Because God has already given you power from the very beginning. Stop,
yes, he is.
Stop sitting back. Stop crying. Stop throwing pills. Stop acting like you're a turkey. God has given you power to come against it. My question tonight is, what are you going to do? Are you going to let the devil do as he planned to do? Or are you going to take authority over his plan and say, there ain't but one plan for my life, and God is in control of my life?
I'm going to allow God to give
it to you.
God is going to take the control.
I know you got something to say. What was that?
Well, good morning.
Good morning. You got good morning.
She was. Well, listen. I don't want to stop the conversation, but my God, and Apostle Smith already knows it's insurance stuff all afternoon since 12 o'clock. If you don't mind, Apostle Smith, if you don't mind me just giving a very quick testimony. When the Spirit of God speaks to you, and I don't want to take away from where you are, but when the Spirit of God speaks to you, it's time to stop playing and listen. God spared my life today. I could be dead. I got in the truck today to drive, and what they did, they switched trucks on me, gave me somebody else's truck because I got hurt last week. And I inspected it to the best of my ability, but in my spirit, the truck just did not feel right. And I said to one of the other drivers, this truck doesn't feel right. Something's wrong. I couldn't tell what it was, but I knew something was wrong. Long story short, the truck heading southbound back toward where I live, the truck caught fire and burned to a crisp. But God spared the cargo that was on the truck. In that space of time, and I'm trying to make this as short as I can, Apostle, if you don't mind, sir. In that short span of time, from the time the truck caught fire, came out of the Baltimore tunnel, it was white smoke. A half mile down the road, it turned gray. And a quarter mile down the road, it turned black. That's when I knew it was actually on fire. By the time I looked under the truck and saw that it was on fire, I tried to get a couple of things out of the truck. I didn't get as far as the tail end of the trailer when it exploded, and the entire truck was engulfed in flames. A two-minute session, two more minutes inside that truck, and I might be dead. If not burnt to a crisp.
Now you come on the broadcast.
Hallelujah.
You come on the broadcast telling that testimony. But guess what the scriptures are tonight?
Talk to me.
Ooh,
the scriptures are, be sober, be vigilant, because the adversary seeking who is coming like a lion, seeking whom he may devour.
My God.
And the other thing is, the thief cometh not but for to steal, kill, and destroy. Your death is right on God.
My God. I'm telling you, it is just God. I just got off the phone with the claims adjuster. Man, I'm telling you, I mean, and it's not over yet. But the main thing is whoever's listening needs to hear this. When God gives you an assignment, don't think for 35 seconds the enemy is not going to try to divert you, to cause you to detour you, to cause you to be distracted. And sometimes he even, if he can, and I know you didn't put this one in there, but if you don't mind, I want to add one scripture to what you already got out there. I'm not taking over your show, but I'm just here to squeal on the enemy. John 10:10, the thief cometh but for to steal, kill, and to destroy. And trust
oh, that part,
three more.
That part of the text for tonight.
All right now, so God already knows.
That's confirmation.
I mean, think about this. I mean, the enemy tried to destroy me. My. I'll tell you honestly.
One of the things you missed before you came in is that we looked at the definition of thief and robber.
Mm-hmm.
It meant a thief is the skilled one. Want to hit you
mm-hmm.
without violence, without harm. But
mm-hmm.
the robber came after you today.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he just showed up.
Don't care about how much damage they do. They don't care
mm-hmm.
whether they got to hit you over the head, burn you up, or whatever. So the robber came after your truck today and said he will not consecrated next month. But God, in his infinite wisdom, knew the bite of the enemy that he was making before you got going with the truck. So he rescued you and said, you still got the victory.
Amen. A few
That's
things
God.
Were lost, but hey, the main thing was kept and sustained.
Yeah.
And I mean, it's an amazing thing. All right, so let's dig into the scriptures there, Apostle. Let's go at it.
Go ahead.
Well, where do we want to start? What scripture were you started on?
I was dealing with both of them. I was dealing with 1 Peter 5 and 8 and John 10 and 10.
All right, well, let me deal with 1 Peter 5 and 8 first. For those of you that may not be available or may not have figured this thing out or may not have allowed your spirit to connect with the spirit of the word, the rhema, the logos, whichever one you want to call it, here is the bottom line. You have an enemy, an adversary. If you say, truly saved, sanctified, Holy Ghost filled, truly Holy Ghost filled, you got an enemy. His name is the devil. He has been here since the time, the beginning of man, met Adam and Eve in the garden, and has been here ever since. Know that he has a short amount of time left. And as the scripture says, he, the enemy, your adversary, the devil, seeketh whom he may devour. Here is my challenging question, and I'm going to throw this at anybody that's on this line listening. When faced with challenges, are you, how do I say this, Lord? Are you, well, let me say it like this. Are you an impact or an imprint type person? Let's ask that question. Are you an impactful or an imprinting person? Now, there's a difference between being impactful and imprinting, because when your adversary comes after you, you can impact the people around you. We can go back to the children of Israel, the 10 to 12 spies, how 10 of them were impacted with what they saw, but two of them were imprinted with the potential and the opportunity to show how strong their God really was. And there are a lot of Christians today that are in that same facet, in that same fashion. They will be an impact person. Oh, we can't do this because of this, that, and the other. And their logic is leading, guiding, and guarding them. But to the imprint type person, they're saying, we are well able to do this. We can do all things through Christ. Yeah, the odds are stacked against us. Yeah, it looks like we can't get it done. Yeah, it looks like it's going to be a little difficult, but God. And that's the one difference right there when you talk about the two. So whoever's listening today, stop looking at the situation. Stop looking at the circumstance. Stop looking at what it might appear to be. Start looking at it through the eyes of faith. Start looking at it through the mindset of God Almighty and see it as a potential, an opportunity to prove how great God is. I dropped the mic.
I want you to know, even tonight, I have been looking for my documents because I know there's some things I got to get in order for the bishop elect. And lo and behold, got my documents in my hand tonight. My documents are not even in order. So I'm glad I found them tonight so I can get them straightened out, because I ain't doing nothing false to the man of God. But when he gets his, mine are going to be right. And I'm going to get everything done, redone, and I'm going to have a night with that reissued to me at the beginning, near the beginning of the convocation. So by the time we get there Saturday, amen, I'm not just doing a consecration by name. I'm doing it because my paperwork is right, which makes me fully bona fide and ready to do what I need to do in Jesus' name. So the enemy thought he was playing a game on me and not have me prepared for Saturday. But the devil is a liar. We will be prepared. Everybody involved will be prepared and ready to do what we need to do.
Amen. Amen. My
All
God.
Right.
Don't go to sleep, Kimmy Kim. Come on back.
I'm talking about your testimony. That is like, wow. Wow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we were talking about the thief and what does he come to steal? And Kimmy Kim gave a great answer on what
I'm listening.
She said he come to steal your joy. He come to steal your salvation, your she talked about a lot of spiritual things. And that is what the enemy comes to steal. He comes to steal your connection with God.
Amen.
But now let me ask another thing. What does he come to kill?
Who? Man.
No, he comes to kill the Christ-like image that's in you. He's coming. He wants to make sure. He wants to make triple sure that you never ever get to that level that of anointing that God wants you to be at. That's his job. He wants to make sure that you do not make it. If he can make sure that you do not, that you fail in what it is that you're trying to do, he's accomplished what he set out to do. But he's got to get you to the point where you feel like you, he's got to make you feel like a failure. He's got to convince you that you failed. And I'd be the first to say that. So the minute he can make you feel like you failed, he's got you.
Remember the old
Gomer Pyle, the old Gomer Pyle thing? Surprise, surprise, surprise. That's what he's trying to throw at you, a surprise.
And let me say this too. He can steal your joy. He can steal your salvation. He can steal your money. But that's something that you can get back. His ultimate goal is not just to steal. He want to kill where you don't have the opportunity to regain what done happened to you.
Amen. My God.
Amen.
So, His killing option is let me take them totally away from anything God can do.
Amen. That's
Amen.
It.
Now, he
wanna kill
them all of us online have been through the devil's stealing time, but he can't kill us. Remember when the Lord let him attack Job, what did he tell Satan?
Hey, you can touch everything around him, but do not touch his soul.
You can't touch him. You can't kill him. You can't make him so down that he can't do nothing else. And that's the same thing God is doing for us. You can try this, try that, but they're going don't make it, keep your hands off of them.
Keep your hands off their life.
And I want to say to all of us online tonight, that is how God sees us. You're going to go through because he said, as long as you are on this earth, you're going to have what?
Seed time and harvest. Oh, tribulation. I'm sorry.
As long as you're on this earth, you're going to have what?
Trials, tribulations, persecution.
Trials.
You're going to have trouble.
You're going to go through
have trouble
as long as you're here.
Mm-hmm.
So you might as well stop praying and asking God to move all your trouble, move all your enemies and all that. You're still on the earth. The Bible already said you got something to go through as long as you're here.
That's right. A lot of us don't want to grow.
You can stop praying and just go ahead through and gain the victory. Yeah.
Well, Apostle, let me say this.
Mm-hmm.
There are a lot of people that have failed to learn how to grow through what they go
yes
through. And you notice
mm-hmm
I said that very slowly, and I said that slowly for a reason. In the process of whatever it is you're going through, there is a growth process that you have to achieve. I mean, God allows you to be in the fire, to be refined in the fire with specific purpose. And the purpose is to develop you, to cultivate you, like a diamond. When a diamond is placed in fire, it has the drogue, the slack, and all that other nonsense that's on the diamond, all those all that material, the slag and all that stuff that's on that diamond has to literally be burned off. But the actual diamond itself not only survives, but shines. Its brilliance comes forward because of the time it is spent in the fire. And so let's think about this for a minute. The Bible says we're a city set on a hill which cannot be hid. We're the light of the world. We're the salt of the earth, and makes all these accusations about us. God is refining us to a place and point where when people look at you, they might see your battle scars. They might see a wound that once was. They may see parts of your life where it looked tattered and torn and beaten and run down into the ground. But when they look and see the fact that you are still standing, they can see the formulation of the diamond that God has called forward. I dropped the mic.
Yeah, but not only that, you begin to talk about the growth process. What did the Bible
mm-hmm
say? That the trying of your faith working what?
Patience.
Patience. Now, what is patience?
The development.
How to go through.
Yes, the development of your
you
character.
You can't rush through a trial. You got to know and learn how to go through.
If you don't.
And then patience gives you what? Experience.
Exactly.
And experience gives you what?
Hope. Endurance. Exactly, and hope make it not a shame.
What you say now? Hope does what?
I said, and hope make it not a shame.
It
I mean, some folks, so yeah, it make it not a shame. You know where I get that from? And I'm learning what that actually means. Think about this: when folk are going through, they don't want nobody to know they're going through, so they played hide and go seek. You know. They hide the fact that they're through. You ain't got to hide that you're going through. If you're going through, you're going through. Just be joyful as you're going through. Don't try to hide it. This is too many folk. And see, sometimes when you're trying to hide it, God is preparing somebody to bless you. I'm going to use a financial situation, for instance. God is preparing someone to bless you financially. to help you out of your situation or your circumstance. And here you trying to play hide and go seek. Ah, Sister Kimmy Kim, you okay? You need a little help? You know, I'm right here, sis, you know. I mean, I just got this money and such and such and such, and if you need a couple of dollars, just let us a brother know or let a sister know. No, I'm okay. Everything is fine. God will provide. You know the old joke about the individual that was out there in the middle of the ocean and the boat was sinking and he was holding on to a piece of board and a guy came by in a sailboat and said, you need help? He says, no, the Lord's going to save me. And somebody else came by and I don't know if it was a submarine or whatever it was and said, you need help? No, the Lord's going to save me. And then somebody else came by and something else and asked if they needed a little bit of help. And he said, no, the Lord's going to save me. So the person ended up drowning. And when he got to heaven, he said, God, why didn't you save me? Well, I sent the sailboat, I sent the submarine, and I'm going to use the helicopter. And I sent the helicopter, and you told them the Lord's going to save you. I sent help, but you would not receive it. What am I trying to say? Don't get so proud that you can't receive help. Don't get so proud that God can't use, because the scripture says when you give, and this is Luke 6:38. I got to throw this in there. I know what we're talking about, but this works in life in and of itself. When you give of your time, talent, or your treasure, and it's given unto you, it'll be given back to you good measure, pressed down and shaken together will men. The word men is literally in that scripture. God's going to use plain old ordinary people to come and bless extraordinary you.
You tell me he won't. Right.
Mm-hmm. But we get deep. We just decide, you know, I don't need no help. I got the Holy Ghost, and I'm saved, sanctified. I'm apostle so-and-so. I'm bishop such-and-such. I'm overseer so-and-so. Who cares? The enemy could care less about your title. You got to understand,
amen,
when it says trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Trusting in the Lord requires you to have the confidence in God to know that no matter how bad it looks, no matter how grievous it might seem, no matter how despicable, take any word you want, no matter how bad it looks, God is still going to see you through. When the smoke clears, people are going to see God's glory in your life one way or another. I'm seeing talkative tonight. You know that?
I want y'all to know something, though. If we really take the scripture of God at face value, then there's really nowhere the enemy can touch us.
I agree with that. What do you think, Sister Kimmy Kim?
He has designed his word and designed the working of the word where the enemy don't have a foothold to do nothing with us. So why do we give in to him so much?
We hear the roar. We hear the roar and we get afraid. The scripture's plain when it says God has not given us the spirit of fear, but we hear the roar and we become afraid. And the roar is what we see. Go ahead.
Wait a minute right there, because you said something that just made me want to push you a little further. You said we hear the roar. Then what happens in the jungle when the animals hear the roar?
They look up, tension, and try to find out from what direction it's coming from, because they ain't trying to be nobody's breakfast.
Okay, so if you go back to what is called Animal Kingdom TV, they say when a lion roars, everything in the jungle is frozen. Everything gets frozen because they know something is about to go down, but they're not, just like you just said, they're not sure which way, from where, unless that lion is right there on them. They don't know which way he's getting ready to come, but they know with that roar, it means the lion is hungry, something is getting ready to go down.
And if I can add to that, they're frozen with purpose. They don't want to make the wrong step at the right time. Because if you hear the roar and you start running, you may be running right into his trap.
I got to ask the question then. Then why is it when we hear the roar inside of God, how is it that the enemy launches his attack and we got the power to put him to his stuff?
Well, because we haven't learned that greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. We haven't learned that yet. That has not become a reality to us yet. You know?
Okay.
We haven't put that into our... Go ahead.
I want to dig into something else since you went that way. From the very beginning of man, he said, I gave you power over what? Over all the animals. All the
everything.
We got power over everything that moves.
Amen.
But yet we're being fooled by a noisy lion who we can tell to shut up and go lay down somewhere.
Now, can I make a minor correction to that, Apostle? We're being fooled by the imitation of a lion. It is not the lion, it is the imitation. Think about it. He says, as a roaring lion.
I hear you.
As a roaring lion.
Now,
but he's coming to,
big,
and he's trying to.
Tell us about that big word, as.
Two letters that make all the difference in the world. A number one, as does not mean is. If it is, then it's an original. If it's as, it's an imitation. Okay.
So are you trying to
should have wrote that down.
Are you trying to tell me on Halloween night there's a lot of imitations out here?
Oh, not just Halloween. Go to church sometime.
No,
there's
but
a lot of
ads. I'm talking about Halloween.
Listen.
People go out here dressed like this, like that, and the other, but they're just going as.
They are going as. Don't nobody take this the wrong way, and I pray nobody's offended by how I'm about to say it. There are a lot of asses out there.
But then when you look at the Bible says that the goat dress up like a sheep, and they go as.
The goats think they're doing the work of the sheep.
Yes.
Well, at least they think Kimmy, they are
Kim,
anyway.
Where you at? Talk to me, Kimmy Kim.
You both are speaking truth. I mean, you must continue on asking for what you ask. And then he said you got to seek and you got to open up the door. And a lot of people don't want to put in the work. It's a lot of work. And I know Bishop was talking about me because I am doing better with asking for help. So I'm getting better on that.
I wasn't actually talking about you, but since you're making a confession, I'm happy to hear that. I was I was talking in general. One thing I learned, and you know me, anybody that knows me, I know you are, but I want to make sure our listening audience knows Bishop Richard don't throw nobody under the bus. As a matter of fact, I don't want to see you get run over because if you get run over and you're the person I'm looking for, I might decide to back the bus up and hit you again. So it's better not to.
You're funny. You're back. Yay.
Wow.
So what we need to know that the enemy, the Satan. Now, we say the enemy, and the Bible talks about the enemy, but it also at times just got raw and called his name out. So we know exactly what's happening.
Amen.
Even from the eon of time, it said the devil was there at the Garden of Eden, letting us know, I don't want want you ignorant of his devices.
Amen.
I want you to know what you're dealing with. I want you to know what you're fighting. I want you to know what's trying to sneak up on you. He said, don't be afraid. I'm going to call it just like it is. And then you go forth and beat him. Yeah, he can't see. You can't see nothing but the white meat. I want you to understand.
My God.
Now, all of y'all that listen tonight, that's scared of the enemy anyway. Stop being scared. The Bible says when Jesus died on the cross, he left Satan helpless.
That's what he says.
So you are afraid of a crippled, jacked up enemy. All you need to do is put the word of God on him. Put your prayer life on him. Put your praise on him. He's going to have to hightail it because he can't take it.
Amen.
I want somebody to know tonight, we only came on to encourage you and help you to know that the victory is in your hands. Amen. This is Janelle. Get here yet? Or she done left us tonight?
She didn't come on today. I think she's working.
Oh, my Lord. But
yeah, I'll make sure I remind her next time.
But I tell you tonight, I don't want nobody getting caught up in his stealing, in his killing, in his destroying, because there's more in you than what's in the enemy. So you don't have to sit back and let the devil win. You have
Amen.
Greater victories inside of you. You have greater
Amen.
Power inside of you.
Yes.
Even matter of fact, even the Lord said, after the Holy Ghost come, he said the devil, he going to come after that. He said, but know something. You don't have to worry about him because I already took care of him.
Mm-hmm.
He said he going to come, but he can't do nothing to you because I already
Amen.
Got power over him.
Amen.
So if God got power over him, guess what? All you here, Holy Ghost filled saints, got power over him too.
Amen.
Oh, no, you ain't got to start shouting like that. I know I just ministered to somebody. Somebody was thinking they had to go through what they're going through. But you got power over the situation already.
Mm-hmm.
You need to
All
go
right.
ahead and bless him. Go ahead and give him the praise. Go ahead and give him the glory. And know that God is on your side.
Amen.
Anybody else got anything to say tonight? Because I just came to encourage. I didn't come to hold nobody all night. If they ain't getting encouraged by now, they don't want to be encouraged.
Amen. I agree. I know I was encouraged by the word and by Bishop's testimony. Wow.
Anything else you want to say, Bishop Relax?
No, I think we've covered everything. All I'm going to simply say is, like I said when I first came on, when you hear the voice of the Lord, it behooves you to pay close attention. It just might save your life.
I want to close tonight with this one statement for the word. You are victorious.
Amen.
The word said that. That's not a quote from me. The word said you are victorious. And then
yes.
I want to close with another quote from the word. You are triumphant.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't have no need of ever losing in any battle because you got the victory and you're triumphant. And I want to say to you tonight, go ahead.
Go ahead.
Go ahead and go ahead. God
Amen.
Is waiting to fight for you, fight with you, and fight before you. We bless you tonight, and we say if you're going through hell, don't stop. If you're holding hell, don't keep it. But let the Lord lead you and guide you. You just keep going, and God's going to do something greater with your life. The Lord bless
Amen.
You. Kimmy Kim, get ready. Just like you did when we opened, drop some hot on them tonight to close out.
Amen.
Blessings down, pour your blessings down.